You're listening to Scratching and Thriving, a lifestyle podcast hosted by two dope professionals who are passionate about empowering people to thrive. I'm Dr. A.
And I'm Brandon. And we are two longtime friends who met about 20 years ago during undergraduate studies. And we took two different paths in life. I'm a healthcare executive and lifestyle guru.
And I'm an educator and entrepreneur.
And we are here to bring you the content that will help you thrive.
Hi, this is James Alexander of the Bar Cage, and you listen to Scratching and Thriving with Brandon and Adrian. So y'all need to check it out, okay? Bye.
Hey, Adrian.
Hey, Brandon. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I am well on this snowy day in Philly.
I was about to ask you about that. I heard they was cutting up there.
Honey, it's supposed to snow for 3 days.
So you all tucking in?
Yes.
You got your grocery?
Yes.
Like the old folks say, you got your grocery together?
Yes. I'm just praying that the power doesn't go out.
Do you have a generator?
I do, but still.
Well, I mean, at least that is helpful. You'll have some backup source.
That is true. That is true.
So you get to watch all your videos and your movies while you're stuck in the house.
I do. Sip on my hot tea.
You've seen Bridgerton already, right?
I have.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of, even though my Netflix is queued up and ready to go, I'm kind of Netflixed out.
Are you?
Yep, and it's not just Netflix. I don't want to single them out. I'm Hulu'd out, Amazon Prime'd out, I'm CNN out.
Well, maybe you need to turn to music then.
Right. Speaking of, let me tell you, speaking of music, I caught wind of the Barquet's new single, Perfect Gentleman.
Oh, have you heard you? It? I have. That's a jam, too.
I know. And you know, that is a legendary group, honey. They have had hits through decades. But this one right here.
It kind of puts you in the mind of one the Temptations, how they change out members, but there's always one single original member that's the glue that holds it together.
Right. Yeah. And theirs is with James Alexander, Mr. James Alexander.
Yes, he was traveling with Otis Redding, and because of divine intervention, he survived that plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mr. Alexander is definitely a legend.
Well, I am excited to talk with him today about his history, what inspired him, and what's next for the Barquet.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you, he is hilarious, too. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. James Alexander.
Hey, Brandon. How you doing?
I'm good. And this is Adrian, Dr. A.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Dr. A. I'm doing fantastic. I'm somewhere between the sky and the earth.
All right.
The ground nowhere.
Okay.
All right. So we just had a few questions for you because, you know, we know you're a legend. So we want to learn a little bit more about you.
I'm a legend in my own mind.
That's wonderful. You legend in our minds, too.
Right.
And I'm in my own mind. Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. So.
So we hear you from originally from Memphis, right?
South Memphis.
South Memphis. Tell us about growing up in South Memphis. How was it?
It was fantastic. I was just telling Renisha that growing up in South Memphis was just fun growing up because, you know, we had the dudes that hang on the corner of College of Macklemore, you know, and if you weren't from the neighborhood, they beat you up, you know, stuff like that. And then, you know, also at the corner of College of Macklemore, it was like a bar, and it was the legendary Stax Records. All of this stuff was in the same block. There was a grocery store called We Own a Grocery Store. There was a barbershop and a beauty shop, and there was a cafe, and there was Stax Records all in one block.
Stax Records, you know, that's legendary all in by itself. Is that where you met a lot of your members, the Barquet members? Did y'all meet in South Memphis, or did you meet at Stax? How did you meet all of them?
Well, four of us went to school together. Four of us went to Porter Junior High School together, and we also went to Booker Washington. But one of the guys went to Manassas, and we had a white guy in the group, and he went to Central.
Okay.
Because at that particular time, Central High was a predominantly white school. So the white guy in the group, he went to Central. So what happened is, when we decided that we wanted to really, you know, make a career out of this thing, the white guy who went to Central High School, he transferred from Central High School to Booker Washington. Mm. And can you imagine what his parents told, when he went to ask his parents? Furthermore, when he told his parents he was transferring from Central High School to a predominantly black school, Booker T. Washington, his parents like to have a fit.
I bet, yeah.
Because you know, during those times, you know, it was everything was segregated.
Mm-hmm.
Black was with blacks and white was with whites. That wasn't too cool.
So y'all signed with Stax Records. Was that the first label you signed with?
That was the first label that we ever signed with. We signed, you know, we did not read the contracts or nothing like that. They said sign here, and we just signed.
So is that where you met Mr. Otis Redding?
Nope.
How did you
meet?
We
met Otis Redding in a club.
Oh, okay.
See, we were playing it as a band. We were playing at a club. Actually, we weren't supposed to be playing at a club because we were underage. We were playing at this club called the Hippodrome. The address for the Hippodrome was 500 Beale Street.
Oh.
I drove by the other day and it was a park. It's just a parking lot now. But anyway, the Hippodrome was a skate rink by day and it was a nightclub at night. So, you know, they'd be skating there in the daytime, and then at 6 or 7 o'clock when the skate rink closed, they put the tables and chairs out there, and it was a nightclub. So we used to play at this nightclub. Now, we weren't supposed to be playing at the nightclub because we were underage. But the club owner had a connection with the Vice Squad. Back in those days, the Vice Squad would randomly check clubs to see if they had any underage people there. So when the Vice Squad was getting ready to come and raid and check his club, someone would always call him and say, hey, the Vice Squad are coming to your club next. And then he would take us off the stage, lock us up in the dressing room. Then the Vice Squad would raid the club. When they got through raiding the club and left, he either put us back up on stage. We started playing. We never had any issues with the Vice Squad.
It's strange how things are so different now.
Oh, much different.
So I know that you were the surviving member of the plane crash that killed Otis Redding. Tell us about that day.
Well, the plane that carried Otis Redding, we had an entourage of 12 people, and only 10 people could travel on the plane because the plane only hold 10 people. So two people in the entourage always had to fly commercial. So that particular day, I just happened to be one of the two people to fly commercial. We didn't have any system for doing it. What I told them, we had two rental vehicles. We took the rental vehicles and dropped them off at the private airport. And then we turned the rental vehicles in, and then we went and caught the commercial flight. We were on our way. We were leaving Cleveland, Ohio, flying to Madison, Wisconsin. We were to play the University of Wisconsin on a Sunday night. So the pilot asked me not to fly to Madison. He said, fly to Milwaukee. I dropped him off in Madison, and then I'll fly back over to Milwaukee and pick y'all up and bring y'all back, because it's just a 15-minute flight from Madison to Milwaukee. So we set up, you know, the two guys, the gentleman that was with me was a gentleman by the name of Carl Sims. We set up waiting on the flight. And so after several hours, you know, the flight still hadn't come. So we got a little concerned. So we started calling. No one had heard from the flight. And so later on, we called and they said, yep, we have heard about the flight, but the flight has fell off the radar and we don't know what had happened. Then later on, they called back. They said the flight had fell off the radar and the flight had crashed. But we don't know any details. We didn't know if there was any survivors or anything. They didn't have any. They didn't know where the plane was or anything. And then later on, they said that the flight had crashed. It seems that everyone on the plane was dead. But little did we know that there was one surviving member, and his name was Ben Cawley, that they had sent him to the hospital.
Okay. Mm. Wow, that's a real story.
Yeah. So we know a lot of your hit music, Soulfinger, Holy Ghost, Shine, Boogie Body Land. What inspired your music or the Barcade's music over the years?
You want the political answer, or you want the real neighborhood answer? Which
I
answer
want the real neighborhood.
We want the neighborhood answer.
You know what inspired most of that music?
What's that?
Dope.
Hey.
Dope.
Mm.
Weed and coke and syrup.
Oh wow.
And pills. The ladders, uppers, and downers.
Wow. So you guys were heavy into that lifestyle?
Oh, but of course.
But of course. Listen, you know, they say, though, most great musicians are inspired by their experiences with drugs and tripping, basically. So that's interesting.
Yeah, well, now, I had a dear friend of mine, God rest his soul, Mr. Isaac Hayes. He was not inspired by any drugs. He was inspired by women. So every time he record, he would always have a beautiful woman in the studio sitting on top of the piano while he's recording.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Well, you ask some people will say that's a form of a drug.
Yeah.
So
tell us about the time you played for Michelle and Barack Obama.
Oh, my God. You don't want me to relive that, do you?
Yes, I do. Yes, you want to hear about that.
Look, I felt like a groupie. I was just telling some people, we had the distinguished pleasure of playing for the President Obama and Michelle Obama twice. Number one, we played for the second inauguration. And on that second inauguration, this is how the lineup went. It was Music Soul Child. It was Frankie Beverly and Maze. It was the Barcades. And it was Maxwell. That was the lineup. And then they did a Memphis show at the White House in the East Room. And they had, it wasn't the Barcades, it was just me. It was Justin Timberlake. It was Sam Moore, the Alabama Shakes. I can't think of that girl's name that's in the Alabama Shakes. It was her. It was Eddie Floyd. It was those people. So what happened is, you know, when we got ready to do the photo op, you know, the Secret Service lined us up in groups of fours. And what they said is, you can only, you know, approach the president when your name is called. Mm-hmm. So I was number four in one group of four. So they said, James Alexander, you know, that was my time to, you know, approach the president and do my, you know, shake his hand, do my photo op. They kept saying, James Alexander, would you know I could not move? I froze. I couldn't believe this was happening.
Did you make it up there?
Yeah, after they called my name about three times. Look, I was in awe.
I bet.
Hey, look, I could not believe that I was in front of royalty.
Right.
Here I am in the White House getting ready to meet President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama. And I couldn't believe it. I'm standing right in front of him and I couldn't even approach him.
Wow.
Yeah. So I finally went up there. So I got up there. We turned around. We did, you know, being President Obama, did our photo op. And, you know, I shook his hand. I talked to him for about 30 seconds. And then I went to Michelle Obama and I reached out my hand to shake her hand. And she said, oh, no, I don't shake hands. I hug. And I said, oh, my God. I almost fainted. I mean, you know, you probably have seen me. You know, I'm short. You know, they call me Little Pillsbury Doughboy growing up. But, you know, she's tall. This woman hooving over me, and she just grabbed me and gave me a big bear hug.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have just died right then and went to heaven right then. It was just, that was just one of the most amazing things. I wish I could have just kept the clothes that I, you know, she hugged me in and just, you know, framed them or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was such an amazing, but this is what topped it all off. You know, and I said, I was James Alexander of the Barcades. She said, oh, I just put your song on Barack's iPad the other day. And the song that we had at that particular time was a song called Grown Folks. And, you know, they're from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and Grown Folks happened to be out, and Grown Folks is a big Steppers song. So her mm-hmm. girlfriends always, you know, send her the latest music that's out, you know, from Chicago, because all her girlfriends are still in Chicago. Wow. And so that really made my day. You know,
I know
was,
that's right.
Yeah, I mean.
For real.
Look, you want to know the truth about it?
Mm-hmm.
I was about to pee on myself. I mean, no lie. I had to take a bathroom break. And I was just overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
So your latest song, Perfect Gentleman,
yep,
is about to come out. What inspired that one?
Well, it was no inspiration by the Barquets. A dear friend of mine and a co-writer and one of my son's friends, a guy by the name of Gassner. He Gassner the artist, that's what he wants to be called. But for short, we call him Gas Money. That's his nickname because everybody needs a little gas money.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the song. He wrote and produced the song. And the song has been laying around. And, you know, we were going to put out other songs. But that song, I woke up in the middle of the night one night. And actually, I woke up in a cold sweat. And when I wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, I said, something's up. So I got up. And when I wake up in cold sweats like that, I get up. I don't care what time of night it is. I get up, I shower, and I put my clothes on because I said something special is happening here. The next day, I start calling my team. I called Renisha, and I called Terrence, and I called him. I said, look, y'all, we need to go on and put this song out right now. My business partner said, and when I told him I was doing it, and he said, it's about time. You know, because, you know, during the pandemic, you know, we've been writing all these songs, you know, and all of these songs are like our babies. You know, we think all of them are good. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is, no writer, every song that a writer's write, every song is not good. Some songs are good and some songs really ain't nothing, really.
Mm-hmm. How has the pandemic impacted you and your music and your career and writing?
First of all, the pandemic is just about drove my ass crazy. Simply because of the fact that
that's right.
You know, I got a whole band to contend with. I got a wife to contend with. I got two dogs. It's just been a bit much. I mean, you know, just trying mm-hmm. to maneuver and, you know, just be creative and figure out a way to maneuver through this pandemic. But all I can say about it is it's been a blessing because, you know, everything has still been running fairly smooth, you know, considering mm-hmm. all the things that have been going on. You know, at least I'm still breathing. You know, I'm still here.
That's
you know,
true.
We have lost so many friends, family members, business associates during this pandemic. It's just been unbelievable. But just to be still in the midst is just, you know, it's a blessing, really.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with that. One of the questions that we always ask our guests is, what does success mean to you? You know, we named the show Scratching and Thriving because we wanted to help our listeners thrive. And you have had a thriving career in this industry. Your music is known all over the world. What do you think has led to that success? And then how do you define success today?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. One of the things that helps me out a lot is I don't really take myself too serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know how some people, you know, think they all of that in a bag of chips. You know, I don't, mm-hmm. you know, I can really laugh at stupid stuff that I do. I just don't take myself serious. And really, one of the things that have helped me out a whole lot, you know, I consider myself a student of the game. You know, I'm always... You know, I'm always trying to learn, you know, new stuff. I mean, you know, because I talk to, you know, there's just a chosen few artists that's my age that have been around this long time. Most of the guys I talk to, you know, I wasn't going to call their names, but I will call their names, like the OJs and mm-hmm. Frankie Beverly, only mm-hmm. Charlie Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Barquets fit in that same category. I mean, because, you know, hey, we just, you know, you have to adapt to whatever environment is going on now. You know, I've been in the industry so long to where when it started out, it was just a singles business. And I seen it evolve from a singles building with 45s, then going to 33s, then to cassettes, to CDs, to downloads, now to streaming. Now it's back to a singles business now.
So, this, Ms. Alexander, this has been amazing. You gave so many tokens of wisdom and the stories. We could talk all day.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime, okay?
Yes, sir. All will right, do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Adrian. I think, you know what? I think that we did preach a word to the folks today.
All right.
Good conversation.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear how you're thriving.
Right.
So
right.
Let us know. Let us know. What's your definition for success? What does it take for you to thrive? What has been your experience? We want to hear that from you. So share it with us so that we can learn from your experiences and other people, some of our other listeners and thrivers can learn as well.
Right. And look us up on Instagram, Facebook, and send us emails because we do want to hear your success stories. And, you know, we also want to hear those things that you may be struggling with because, you know, we may be young, but we've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations that we can tell you how to overcome some of these humps. I'm just telling you.